Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed, the authentic source of Nigerian information, positive Nigerian energy all the way. All right, 2 p.m. Nigeria time, as promised, as advertised. Of course, we are still on the COVID-19 culture review, and we've been looking at the impact of COVID-19 on children. We've had a great conversation. We've been having great conversations, as a matter of fact, since morning. And of course, we're moving forward. We have here with us Taiwo Akinlami, a lawyer and child rights advocate. Good day to you, sir.
Thank you very much, madam, for having me. It's my pleasure to be with you this morning. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Thank you for doing this with us. You're welcome to Spirit
Thank
of Nigeria.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure. Yeah.
Okay. All right. For the sake of our listeners, Taiwo Akinlami, mostly referred to as Nigeria and arguably Africa's foremost child protection thinker and practitioner with 19 years of practice experience, is the principal of widely subscribed I Protect Academy, Africa's pioneer academy on family strengthening, childhood restoration, child rights and responsibilities, childcare and protection, and childhood preservation through culture revolution. Okay, so I've given that description, but can you give us a brief breakdown on why you are referred to as Africa's foremost child protection thinker?
Well, that's a tough conversation to have because I don't really know where to start from. It's because in the last 21 years, I've dedicated my legal practice to the protection of children, to the preservation of childhood, to care and protection. I've worked with different organizations at local and global level, working with UNICEF, British Council, bringing African sensitive solutions, because I believe that principles are universal, application of those principles are peculiar. So bringing the peculiarity of the African experience to address global issues, and we have created products, we've done a whole lot in that area. So my life is defending the cause of children because of my own childhood. I did not have a childhood, my childhood was stolen from me, and so having become an adult and having met Christ, and I began to experience the goodness and the mercy of God, I felt it there's need for me to speak to what I experienced in childhood, and for that experience to be able to help other people who might have gone through what I went through, or who might have who are today also raising children, so that they will not raise their children the way they were raised, so I can bring a level of support and support.
Okay, that's really deep, and of course I find that very interesting and inspiring. But all the years that you have been doing this, have you had some level of fulfillment while on this course?
Well, what I do is my life. If you hear that I stop doing what I'm doing right now, it will mean that I signed up for suicide. I have no other way. I have no other life. I talk children. I breed children. I work with families. I work with organizations. I didn't go into it because of the lucrativeness of it. It's a call for me. And so I've done that all my life. I continue to do that till I, as long as I'm blessed with breath.
Okay. All right. Still interested. Okay. Now, moving on. Can you share with us, what is the I Protect Academy about?
Well, I Protect Academy speaks to three major things. Number, we find out that those who work with children a lot of times do abuse children. Now, the closer you are to children, the higher the possibility of abuse. People used to think that it was strangers that abused children. No, strangers hardly abuse children because strangers don't have the gift of access. But the closer you are to children, the higher the possibility of abuse. So Now, so we feel that, and the reason why people abuse children is not because they are wicked most of the time. It's not. It's just because they are ignorant or they are inflicting their own childhood experience on the children also. So we feel that it is important for us to create a level of awareness to help people to understand their own child. So we discussed three fundamental things. Number one, that children have rights. Those rights are given to them by God. We don't give children their rights. We respect their rights because children are born with those rights. Now, number two is the fact that rights in itself must achieve protection. Children must be protected from physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, and neglect. Number three is the fact that why should children be protected so that we can preserve childhood? Childhood needs to be preserved. The greatest gift that we can give to a child is to preserve the child's childhood. Because once childhood is destroyed, adulthood is a mess. So everything you see in our world today is a problem of childhood. So that what we say in our academy, that Nigeria does not, for example, our world and Nigeria does not have academic problem. We don't have social problem. We don't have marriage problem. We don't have leadership problem. We have only one problem. The only problem we have is mismanaged childhood manifesting as dysfunctional adulthood. That's the only problem we are dealing with in the world. Everybody today troubling our world and everybody blessing our world wants a child. Is raised in a particular way, and all of us we are agents and products of influence. That's why I believe strongly what Maria Montessori says. What does she say? She said everything you do to a child does not stick in the memory of the child, speaks to the soul of the child. The soul is the seat of the will, the mind, and emotion. And so everything is childhood. Childhood is everything. So for us in our academy, we are trying to establish all of this. We are trying to drive this message so strongly so that it can become spread. It can spread and become the mantra that everybody dealing with children will be able to assimilate. And so for us to be able to do that, we work with people and organizations to create processes, to create policies, to create a template for them to be able to do that which they are supposed to do, knowing that you can only give what you have.
Wow. Okay, this is getting more and more interesting. But of course, I needed our listeners to hear all of that so everybody can understand the importance of having you here for today's conversation, which of course is COVID-19 culture review, the impact of COVID-19 on children. And of course, if you're wondering who this person is, this is Taiwo Akinami, who's a lawyer and a child's rights advocate. Okay, now let's begin. Now, fewer children have been sick with the COVID-19 compared to adults. But do you think that children have also been victims of the impact of the COVID-19 virus? Now, I'm not talking about the virus itself. I'm not talking about children getting infected with the virus. I'm talking about other complications that come to the virus.
Okay, I'm going to speak from the impact, from the social angle, the social perspective, the social, political, economic perspective. Now, COVID-19 has affected everybody. It has turned our lives, you know, upside down, downside up. You know, things have changed completely. And you see, the issue when you talk about Nigeria is that Nigeria is a third world country by design, but by decision. God did not create any country to be third world. That's why Singapore was the third world country in 1965, and 31 years down the line, Singapore became a first world country. So by our design, by our neglect, by our negligence, by our deletion of political and social duties, we are a third world country. As a third world country, and we are even at the bottom of third world countries, because India is supposed to be a third world country, but they have overtaken Nigeria in the number of highest poor people in the world. They have overtaken, Nigeria has overtaken India in the number of highest poorest people who are living on less than $1.9 per day. Nigeria has overtaken India in the number of under 5 deaths. So when you locate our conversation within the purview of the fact that we were dealing with a third world country, Nigeria, we were not prepared for it. So this has been the impact is that you now find a situation where 13.5 million Nigerian children were out of school, right? Now, 46 million Nigerian children could not receive education. That's UNICEF figure, 46 million. Why was it that they could not receive education? Because there was no, because they could not go to physical school, and there was no provision for them to be able to go to school online, 46 million. When you now add adult education, you now add another 36 million. That means that 80 million Nigerians in a country of supposedly 200 million did not have access to any form of education during COVID. It affected the health of our children, because instead of in developed countries, hospitals were being opened, but in Nigeria, general hospitals were being shut down. I don't know. Are you seeing what I'm saying? General hospitals were being shut down. General hospitals that were supposed to cater for people. It was in the midst of COVID that resident doctors and all of those people were going on strike because government was not responding to their care and all of that. So when you look at all of this, you find that because of lack of preparation, because preparation, we also mean that we have a system that is functional. Because of all of that, our children were endangered. They are still endangered. I hope you know in Lagos, it is still one day on, one day off. They are still doing in school. One day on, one day off. That's what they are still doing today. You know, because Lagos was talking about a second wave. You know, so for me, the impact of COVID on our children has not been pleasant. It has been saddening for me, because I do some work with SOS Children's Village International. And I had a group of children that I was working with in a place called Isolo in Lagos. Isolo is a suburb of Lagos, but it's not a rural area like that. It's not supposed to be a place where children should not have access. And I was speaking to 70 children, and these children told me they have never heard anything called Zoom in their life. So which means for the period of the pandemic, these children did not have access to any form of education. These are children of words of wood and glass of water. These are children of mechanic, generator repairers, you know, casual workers in companies and all of that. And they did not have access to education. And at the end of the day, we expect loyalty, we expect patriotism for this kind of children. It's tough. Indeed, it is tough.
And as a matter of fact, you're bringing it completely from a different angle and dimension. And I find this very touching, but at the same time, very interesting for me to as well. Thank you very much for that analysis. Now, did you say that enough attention is being paid to children in this time in Nigeria? Missing gaps? What should we be doing differently? And of course, you've mentioned about 70 children who even did not have access to education during the COVID. When the COVID was at Lagos, Nigeria, for example. And of course, we know that if we look into other states, we find thousands and thousands of students or children who also fall in that category. Now, is there something we should be doing differently as a people, or maybe Nigerian government?
Well, when we talk about Nigeria these days, I often don't know where to start my conversation from. Because if I talk about what government should do, we've been talking about what government should do since 1960, even before then. Government is not getting better. Government seems to be getting worse. If I talk about what individuals should do, we've been talking about that for a very long time. It's just that individual effort needs to be predicated upon the bedrock of a policy put in place by government, a system. So for me, what I'm going to say is that the parents in Nigeria are going through a lot. Nigeria is the only nation where parents are responsible for raising their children. There's no nation in the world where it is only parents, that is biological parents, that are raising children. There are four institutions that are responsible for raising children. The first one is the family. Family is number one, for family is not us. The second one is the community. In the community, you find the media, like the conversation we're having today, bringing this issue to the front burner of conversation. You find the churches, you find the mosques, you find the religious organizations in the community, you find neighbors, you find schools. Then you have the government, which is supposed to be provide social services, social protection. Then you find the international community. So all of these put together are the people that are supposed to protect children. So the question today is, how do we activate these bodies? How do we activate, how do we help the family? How do we activate the role of the community? How do we activate the role of the government? How do we activate the role of international community? This, I think, this is the conversation we need to be having. And that is why I think that ultimately we can't discuss the issue of children without discussing Nigeria. And we have to discuss Nigeria in my own opinion. I think Nigeria needs a total overhauling. Nigeria needs to be restructured so that in the process of that restructuring, we can bring in matters that has to do with children and ensure that they are protected, they are safe, they are able to go to school. And when pandemic like this strike or any other disaster strikes, you find that children are protected. For example, look at what is happening to children in the northern part of Nigeria. Now, there's a pandemic in that place. The pandemic of Boko Haram, the pandemic of terrorism, the pandemic of children being kidnapped from school day in, day out. 120 children from Kankara to Kangara to Dapchi to Chibok. Children are being carted away like goods. And the unfortunate thing is that we have not been able to find a solution to it. We don't even know, we don't know the position of government. We have not seen the Minister of Education coming out to tell us what to do. These are hydrated issues. I think we need to begin to have a conversation that would discuss the role of family, the role of government, the role of community, the role of international community, and how do we harness all of these roles to get the best of protection for children during this pandemic and post-pandemic.
Okay, well, I think that now we know where we fall. The families, the communities, the government, the international communities will also have them there. So definitely, I feel like everybody needs to, you know, take responsibility and understand where they fall and the roles that they need to play. All right, thank you very much, Mr. Taiwo Akinlami. Of course, you're still listening to the Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Just in case you're wondering what we are talking about, the COVID-19 country review, and today we're looking at the impact of COVID-19 on children. Of course, it's been an interesting conversation so far, and there's still more, there's still so much more. I understand. Now, moving on to the next question. With the availability of COVID-19 vaccine in Nigeria, what is your take on children getting vaccinated?
Well, you know, globally, the position, the thinking medically is the fact that children are the least affected. No one way or the other, they are affected. In developed countries now, particularly in America, there is a plan to begin to test COVID-19 vaccine with children to ensure that they are vaccinated. That one or two companies, you know, are taking on that responsibility. But it's a different kettle of fish in Nigeria. Now, so we have a vaccine moved into Nigeria. The speculation that the kind of vaccine that was moved to Nigeria is causing blood clot in some nations, maybe in Europe and all of that. That is an issue on its own. Then when you talk about children, see, the challenge is today, we do not know the plan in place to ensure vaccination of citizens. In developed climate, they have a plan. You look at the elder, you look at the frontline workers, the medical practitioners, you know, the support, medical practitioners, paramedical practitioners, all of those ones are in the forefront and they get vaccinated first, followed by elderly. Now, in the US now, people from age 40 have now been told that they can register for vaccination. So the question is, there is no transparency as to what to do, where to go. Are you getting it? And so that's a major problem. For example, there is a law in Nigeria now about COVID-19 protocol, which speaks to the fact that children must wear face masks. Children, when they go to school, must maintain social distancing. But when you go to a school in Nigeria, for example, where you have 150 children in a class that was created for 40, don't you ask them to come? To come one day on, one day off. How does that solve the problem of that densely populated class? How do you separate the class? What do you do? The class is itself choked up. So I think that we need to demand from the state governments and from the federal government, what is the plan? As far as I'm concerned, the last time I checked, which is still this morning, I'm not aware of the plan in place as to when children are going to be vaccinated. Please note, the vaccination going on right now, I don't think, I'm not a medical person, but from what I'm studying, what I've studied in the way other developed countries, how developed countries have handled this issue, what I've found is that there is a trial now going on for children, which may mean that the present vaccine may not necessarily be meant for children. You know, there's a difference between, you know, layman speaking now, and from a use of medication, there's a difference between medication that are meant for children and the ones that are meant for older people. That is why I may be coughing, my child might be, my child may have a cough, but the drug that is going to be recommended for me for my cough is going to be different from the drug that I would recommend for my child for his or her cough because of our age and all of that. So I think that as of today, we are not aware of that plan to put children in the front burner of concern as vis-a-vis the issue of vaccination. I'm not aware of that. And I think that we need to demand for as an organization, as media, we need to demand for a clear picture, a clear plan from government.
Okay. Well, definitely, we hope that you know, we can begin to see these things happen. Anyway, now let's look at the psychological effect of the impact of the COVID-19 on children. Now, you know, we've been talking about the, you know, it has affected children one way or the other. But looking at it, take for example, let me put this question this way: do you think it is appropriate for parents or adults to tell children or to lecture children about the COVID-19 virus and everything that comes with it? Because in the news, social media platforms, we've been seeing a lot of atrocities that have been caused by the COVID-19 virus worldwide. Now, do you think that children should even have access to such information in the first place? And do you think that it could have a negative psychological effect on these children?
Okay, when COVID-19 struck and there was lockdown, organization released a free ebook talking to parents how to cope with their children during the COVID-19 lockdown and beyond. That ebook is available, is free, where we try to help parents understand the kind of conversations they must have with their children. Now, children are human beings and children can think. One of the fundamental principles that adults often forget about children is that a child is a person. And if you say a child is a person has three fundamental characteristics. A child is not going to become a person when the child is 18, he's already a person from when the child is in the womb. And a person has three fundamental characteristics. Number one, a person can think. Number two, a person can take decisions. Number three, a person is of worth. So children can think and they understand what is going on. When you don't discuss it with them, they find a way of getting their own information. They know that daddy used to go to work, mommy used to go to work, but they are not at work now, they are at home. They know that they used to go to school, but they are not in school now, they are at home. So they already, the situation is already speaking to them. When we do not talk to our children about what is going on, we shortchange them. You know, we don't, because whether we like it or not, they are already learning, they're already aware, you know. And so it is now important for us to direct that conversation. Let children become fearful. Now, let's take for example, children, a child celebrates his or her birthday in school. The friends, you know, rally around her, you know, they celebrate with her. Now she's at home, she cannot celebrate and her birthday is coming. She's becoming anxious. When all of those guys celebrated their birthday, we all rejoiced with them in the school. We shared cake, we shared ice cream and all of that. We shared gifts. Now it's my birthday. Nobody is going to come for me because COVID has separated us. Now children feel that. One of the things children enjoy is celebration, is to be appreciated. Love to children means two things: appreciation and attention. Now, this appreciation comes from celebration and a whole lot of things. Now, the child is not having all of that. Parents need to be able to explain to the child, to say, your birthday is coming. We're going to find a way to celebrate your birthday for you. We know that you will have not celebrate with your friends. Then parents are happy means then you can create an alternative. I've seen birthday parties celebrated on Zoom these days. So it is important for us to understand the impact of this on children. If it can have a great impact also on us as adults, then we must understand that it has greater impact on children, because as adults, we are still able to make sense of what is going on. Children are not able to make sense, though they know what is going on, they may not be able to make sense, you know, with what is going on. That is why parents must have conversation, and that conversation must be meaningful, that conversation must be helpful, that conversation must be empathetic, that conversation must be inspirational, that conversation must be a kind of conversation that can help the deaf children to cope with this situation. Now, I give you an example. A child appeared in an online class. When she appeared on online class with all her friends and all of that, she just voiced out, "I'm tired, I can't continue to do things, I want to go back to school." And the child started shouting like that and left the class. That is trauma. That is emotional trauma. That is a child not being able to handle the situation. So children have entered depression and all of that. And you know, one of the things that United Nations has found, UNICEF has found, is that as a result of this COVID-19 and lockdown, abuse has increased. Abuse of children, physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse of children has increased tremendously. And so you find that children are going through a lot. And so it takes us back to the fact that we have to have conversations with our children. Schools have to have conversation with their students, considering their level of development. With religious organizations must be having conversation with children. We can't just be teaching what we used to teach. We have to teach something that relates to the reality of what is on ground. Children are not able to go to school. Don't take that for granted. Children are not able to mingle and play with their friends. Don't take that for granted. Because one of the things that children do is children play for a living. They play for a living. They play for a living. And so they are not able to play. It has implications. So as adults, we must be proactive. We must be looking ahead and be able to create program, create time to really have conversations with our children, not to scare them. We must let them know. In our ebook, we made it abundantly clear. Let your children know that this is not the first challenge our world has seen or our world is going to see. Our world has seen the First World War. Our world has seen the Second World War. Our world has seen the Black Death in 1918. That was the first pandemic the world witnessed. In 1918, we've seen the Spanish flu. In 1600s or so. We've seen the Spanish flu in 1918, like 100 years ago. And the world came out of all of this stronger and better. So children need to understand that what we are going through right now does not define us. It is our response to what we are going through that defines us. The problem, again, is not with COVID-19. The problem is with mismanagement or management of COVID-19. So in our homes, we need to create a management program. In our offices, we need to create a management program. With our children, in our religious place of worship, we need to create a management program. Once we are not creating those programs, we leave things to chance. And the last time I checked, chance does not change anything. Chance just messes up things.
Wow. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you so much. It's been a very, very enlightening conversation. It's been really interesting, as a matter of fact. I myself have had the lucky peak, and of course, one that I'm really holding on to is that we all have great impact for the family, the community, the government, and of course, international communities. And I'm very sure that our listeners will have had a couple of things to pick in this conversation. If you are wondering who this person is, of course, we've been having a beautiful conversation with Taiwo Akinlami, a lawyer and child's rights advocate. Of course, that's where all the passion is coming from. And it's been a great time. Of course, this is Spirit of Nigeria Radio. And the conversation is COVID-19 Country Review, the impact of COVID-19 on children. Thank you so much, sir. It's been a very great time with you. And of course,
thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure to be with you, to appear with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, sir. Kindly and the rest of the day. Bye, sir.
Bye. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Wow. Wow, very interesting conversation, I must say. And well, that is it on the COVID-19 country review for today. The impact of COVID-19 on children. And do not forget, COVID-19 country review is still on. Definitely still on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Let me wrap this up. And after, definitely I'll be back to give you more information. Stay tuned to Spirit of Nigeria Radio. It's been the voice of Yoyi Sola and Dewsi.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.